have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
You tied on the cross so that I can be free. I'm not the same because of your grace. You are amazing. You are amazing.
Deep. I've lost it. times I've had trouble on every hand. So many days I could barely stay. My hands got tired of holding on. Felt like I just could not go on. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. There's been times when I could not see. I had to cry myself to sleep. I've had people to walk away. I've been put down for my mistakes. And there's been times when I felt alone. I've had to walk some lonely roads. But every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go, God has kept me. No. I wanted to throw the towel in. Didn't want to cry, didn't want to pray. Throw my hand in the air, just walk away. God never left me, never let me go. His grace and mercy always held me close. Every time I almost let go, God has kept me. And every time I almost let go, time I almost let go, God has kept me.
Well, I'm so glad that God has kept me. What about you? Are you glad that God has kept you? Oh, there's nothing else better to praise Him for than to know that with everything that is going on, you are still here. You can still make it. You have still your right mind and your health and strength. He is the one causing you to make it. Well, it's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and you're up listening at the podcast. You must be ready for the voice. And with your hope, our Father, New Haven, Connecticut. And we're glad to be here with you. For some reason, the enemy tried to keep me blocked out, but I'm still here with you. And we're going to have a good time in the name of the Lord. Well, there is one precious lady on the line. I want to say hello to all of you. Kimmy Kim, come on, say something to the people.
Say something. I'm just kidding. Hello, Apostle Smith. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
You trap yourself each time when you say something. Like, okay, say something. Let me stop.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. As long as they hear you get on and say something, they know you're there.
Very, amen.
Amen. I hear the voice of one assumed to be changed, but I hear one voice of the bishop elect, Ernest E. Richard Jr. tonight. Say something to the people of God.
Well, I was listening to Kimmy, and you said say something, so I'm going to say something. Okay, that's what I thought Kimmy was going to say, but she messed up. No, she didn't mess up.
You can't bite me. I said that. You can't bite me.
Didn't bite you. You mm-hmm. said say something. See? All I said See? Was something. He said, now let's get the phrase out. He said, say something.
You're right.
So I should be say something. So I said something. All right. Okay,
that's a good one.
Oh,
you did.
Don't you did good.
You did good.
Americans are getting it. Okay, well, I appreciate it. I get brownie points for that one.
Lord. Somebody got me all mixed up. I didn't know this was wintertime because y'all are sure throwing those snowballs at each other.
Well, listen, as long as we don't hit each other, that's good. So
we're
going to go ahead and work. I'm not trying to hit her because if I was trying to hit her, the Frosty the Snowman be in trouble because I'm going to throw big snowballs. Anyway,
oh, wow.
The Lord bless you, sir. I would never hit you. You know that. Come on. You know, how long
have
you been around me? How long?
People.
I spent too much time protecting you for 10 years. Yeah, still, I have to protect you, not hurt you. But nonetheless, we bless the Lord for this opportunity and chance, sir. I appreciate you. I'm looking for a great show tonight. And by the grace of Almighty God, whatever the Lord has in store, I'm going to go sit down in my office as soon as I can get down there and be ready, get buckled up and get ready to ride.
All right. Is Indianapolis on the line? No, they said they're going to try. Pastor Henderson, are you there? All right, she's not with us just yet. That's not to say that she won't be. I know Georgia is probably making cupcakes. And then on the other side of Georgia, they're probably throwing peaches in trash. All right. And we thank God for all of you that are here with us on whatever media you are in to this podcast with us. Hey, Miss Snicker, Sneaker, High Jump, Low Jump, People Magazine, Essence Magazine, all of y'all that are all with us tonight. Amen. We thank God for you. But we especially thank God for the TikTok and the club and all of you fellas that are a part of our podcast. And we thank God for you. And we pray that you be blessed by listening at this podcast on tonight. Amen. Bishop Elect, please give us a prayer. Kimmy Kim, get Genesis chapter 19 ready to go. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 to 11. And I'm telling y'all before we get going, tonight is going to be hotter than it's been this summer. So you might want to turn the air condition up and get ready to listen at this podcast. Give us
breath. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the entrance of your precious word, which always brings light. God, as we settle ourselves down to get ready to receive from your hand, God, we're thanking you for all that you are doing with and for your people. We ask that you would take this podcast to a new level, a new height in you. Open now our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Cause your word to surface and cause your word to manifest itself like never before. Father, we trust you. We have just confidence. confidence in you that that which we ask according to your word shall be and will be done and will perform according to the way you see it and perceive it. Those who join us for conversation, those who join us on the panel discussion, wherever they may be, wherever they hear the sound of this particular podcast, I pray that it blesses them tremendously to the point that they call in and want to ask, how do I become part of this great move of God? We pray this prayer by faith in Jesus' name, and thank you for it in advance. Amen.
I want to say before we get into the depth of our conversation, any preachers, any missionaries, any deacons, any saints of God, anybody with questions that would rather talk to us than just view us by way of Facebook or any other way, you can call 646-564-9842 and be a part of this live podcast right now, right now. Be glad to have you. All right, Kim and Kim, let us hear our scripture, verse 1 to verse 11.
Okay, I have Genesis chapter 19, 1 through, you said 1 through 9?
1 through 11.
11? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm just messing with you. And it reads, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground, and he said, "Behold, now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's hand, and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nah, but we will abide in the streets all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and then baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they came unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "The fellow came into sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now, will we deal worse with him than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Verse 11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
All right. And we're going back to Acts chapter 5, verse 29.
We want to go to Acts chapter 5. Okay, come on. Computer, come on, really? There we go. Acts chapter 5. 529. And it reads, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen.
All right. Now let's look in this 19th chapter of Genesis. And this 19th chapter started out by talking about Lot. And Lot saw two men getting ready to come to that most famous place called Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did Lot get down in the position of worship for these two men coming to Sodom and Gomorrah? Somebody tell me why Lot was worshiping.
Would you like to take a crack at it first, Dr. Robinson?
Sure. What's the question again?
Oh,
I'm
Lord.
Sorry. I was getting to you version, just in case I need to go back to Genesis.
In the book of Genesis, it tells us, first of all, that Lot was standing in the entrance. And when he saw these two men coming to Sodom, he got down in a worship position. Who were these men and why did he get in a worship position?
They were, well, that's a good question. I'm going to be honest. I don't know the answer. Yes, they sound like to be leaders.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a half a point on that. Who were they? They should be like?
They were actually angels sent by God to monitor and observe the doings of that particular city. Three of them. And anytime God sends angels, there's usually three that God would deal with. In this particular case, they didn't have a particular name. But, I mean, I don't want to go too far ahead of myself because we're going to find out some things about these angels. But they were angels that appeared as men in Sodom and Gomorrah at this particular time.
Now, I'm going to ask the question. People like to deal with destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah so much. Why would God be sending angels to this city? Anybody?
Well, anytime God sends...
I'm sorry.
That's all right. But anytime God sends any kind of messenger to any city at any one time, it is either to proclaim or to declare. If he's proclaiming, it's good news. If he's declaring, that means disaster is on the brink. You could be facing imminent danger if you don't if you don't change your way.
All right, Kim McHale.
I agree. He sends angels to give you a message, to alert you. He gives angels to protect you. He gives angels to instruct you. I agree.
Okay. Now I'm going to make a statement, and you're going to know which way I go by my statement. I believe that God has sent these two angels to declare a word in Sodom that would bring repentance and he could change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that, because they came into the city. But isn't it something when they came in? into the city, they knew to go right to the house of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go around the city. They went right to the house of righteousness.
That they did.
And that bothers me in this day and hour when people are talking about angels have come into a service or into a house and all this. And there's no holy reason why they should be there.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are angels present, God must be getting ready to change something. And let's be quiet and hear what instructions they get ready to give so we can get things together.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, in talking about this scripture, they're so in a hurry to get in to a discussion or a message about homosexuality, whether gay or lesbian. But when you read the text, it says God's final decision was because of wickedness. It didn't say it was gay or lesbian. It was part of it. It didn't say that was the only reason. And that was part of the wickedness. But God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to keep saying it. He destroyed them because of W-I-C-K-E-D. He did not destroy them for homosexuality alone.
All right.
If you go back and do some study on these two cities, they have went to the extreme when you start talking about sexuality. That you find out there was more than gay and lesbian acts going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was bestiality. That there were things going on that there were oral, nasty oral sex. I'm not just talking about foreplay to get you ready. There was nasty, nasty oral sex going on where not only the lip and the tongue was on the private part, but they were doing fist sex, hand sex, all kind of stuff was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I just thought I opened up the mindset that there was more going on than one sin. It was a matter of fact, if you go back, I think, and read, I believe it's chapter 18, you will find out all kind of craziness was going on down there in those two cities. And when you hear the name Sodom and Gomorrah, we are literally talking about two cities that had the same types of sin going on. It was not one city named Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom was one place. Gomorrah was another place. And I want you to understand what they shared in their sinful ways and let it go way, way too far out and too crazy, and God sent some angels. We never got a chance to find out, but I believe he sent them angels to help them repent. But now, when the angels went down there and were on their way to the house of Lot, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened? They were on their way to the house of Lot. Apparently, they attracted individuals from both Sodom and Gomorrah that saw them walking to Lot's house. Hey, common sense would tell you they followed them. It's pretty much what I come up with.
So, but let me go to something else, though. Are you trying to tell me that heaven got good-looking people?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we better have them get there then.
No, we already there. We just ain't let it out.
So, but these guys gave them heaven. But they looked so good, they started being watched by evil men.
Mm-hmm. They had other plans.
Yep. And it said they went to the house of Lot and knocked on the door. Lot let them in just in time because this crew of guys came outside. Now, watch this now because I just heard this part tonight. So I got to throw it out there. It said the guys came and surrounded the house. For years, I have heard that they came to the front door, but it said there were so many of them that they surrounded the house. That means they were in the north, the south, the east, and the west, around the house. Man, they really came to get these guys, didn't they?
They did. They were. Listen, it was fresh meat for them. Remember, being in the homosexuality mindset, they saw men that they never saw before. And I don't know whether they was checking out the booty, checking out the pipe, or, you know, they were muscular. I can't tell what they were. All I know is there was fresh meat in the house, and they wanted to know who it was. Who this be? Harper, who this here woman?
And I got to say something. Whenever, however bold the enemy is trying to anybody, you can't be afraid. Because if the Bible tells us that when the men outside came to attack the door, it was the angels that fought back and got them away from the door. You cannot be afraid of the devil's attack.
All right.
You can't say you saved, sanctified, the Holy Ghost filled, and you running in the closet, hiding up under your bedroom stuff and all. You got to fight because greater is he that's around you. Uh-oh. See, there's nobody correcting me. Lord, have mercy.
Well, no, we're not going to correct you because you got to make a decision. If God is on your side, who then can be against you?
Yeah, but I said, greater is he that's around you. That's
no, greater is he that's in us, not around us.
That's why I said there was no correction.
Yeah,
I want the people to know. I want the people to know he is in us. He is with you. He's not coming just because he's around you. He is there with you, in you. These angels begin to show light in them. Don't be afraid. We're going to fight them back. And it said when they fought them back, they locked the door on them. Oh,
mm-hmm.
My God. That means when you fight the enemy, you back him up. Then you got to lock him down. You got to be able to block his access.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
Just fighting and fighting and fighting, and the enemy keep right on coming back. You're forgetting something then.
Mm-hmm. You're forgetting who you are. That's what you're forgetting.
And in this scripture tonight, it tells us that when the angels got finished knocking them back, they closed the door. Well, I say closed. They slammed the door and then locked the door, which says not only will you be able to enter, we lock you out from any kind of access. How many of us are there with the enemy yet?
Mm,
I don't hear nobody saying nothing.
Well, I'm trying to give either Chanel or Kimmy Kim a chance to say a word, but it seems like I can't get them to vibe in.
Well, you better come
over
here. I'm trying to find out how to
tell you. I'm taking note. I'm taking note right now. I cannot comment on something until I understand it. So I am taking note.
And you can't comment on the fact whether if you are standing in the power of God, knocking the enemy back and locking out his access.
Now, I can comment on that. Absolutely. The power of God is within you, and it comes when you abide to him, because everything that we do is spiritual. And so we are, you know, called to keep the laws and the faith, and he does the rest. I am. I do believe in that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I heard that there's a Chanel online. Talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is she here or is she taking a rest?
She's here, but she may be on mute.
Oh, come off of mute, girl. Come off of mute. You know I like hearing you talk. Come on off of mute. You got something good to say. Bishop Elect, why she come off of mute? Talk to her.
Well, I mean, Apostle, I mean, in hearing Sister Kimmy's answer, I want to address that first. I mean, we're in a day and age where people call themselves picking and choosing their fights. And I'm not sure if picking and choosing your fight means running from a situation that you ought to have power or authority over. So maybe somebody can help me with that. If God says that we have power and authority, we have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all power over all the power of the enemy, why do we run as if there's no way in this blue heaven we can ever win? Help me understand that one. I'm not quite sure how to take that.
The reason why folk are taking it, because the wrong teaching is going forth. That's not warfare teaching. That's punk teaching.
I would agree. I would agree. Be bad. Be bold until somebody confronts you and then find a hole and hide in it. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Because the way that's being taught, God, as a matter of fact, I'll put it in this vernacular. The word of God never taught us to watch and see what fight we can fight.
Mm-hmm.
It never taught that. It said when the enemy comes at you, do this, do that, and go ahead and tear them up.
Mm-hmm. But
I
what
mean,
do we
let,
do?
Let's look at it. In height and size and all that, David should have went home then.
Well, if that's the case, you're right. I mean, how is it that David, who wasn't but every bit of maybe 180, 190 pounds soaking wet, takes on a 9-foot, 400-plus pound giant and wins?
And don't forget, at this time, David is probably only about somewhere from 17 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a man yet. He's becoming a man, but he's not a man warrior man. He's killed some things, but he's not known as a warrior.
All right.
And even when he told his brothers, "I'll take out the giant," man, they said, "Man, you better get out of here." Knowing them, they probably told him, "You better get the hell out of here and go on back home and take care of the sheep.
Take your little raggedy tail home and go ahead. This is a man's world."
Yes, sir.
Meanwhile, let us hide. Let us men hide.
So really, you know, as we talk tonight, then David, if it was about choosing the right fight,
mm-hmm,
David should have went home.
I agree.
But David stayed there. Why? He said, "You come with sword and spear." but I come how?
In the name of the Lord.
In the what?
In the name of the Lord.
What kind of weapon is that? Where they make that at?
Well, that's a weapon that you ain't going to find here on the earth.
Oh, but it is a weapon.
It is a weapon.
So
it
David,
is a weapon.
David said, I got
a weapon that no man can fight.
Don't you know? He said, I got a weapon you ain't ready for. I don't care how big you are. What did David tell Goliath that day?
He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come at you in the name of the Lord, of whom the Lord God of whose armies you defy.
No, but what did David actually tell Goliath?
He told him that he's going to take his head off.
That's what he told him. He said, you talking about feeding me, but I'm getting ready to take you out. And they're going to eat on you.
Mm-hmm.
David was so bold in God. He knew what kind of talk to give Goliath. He wasn't just talking junk. He was talking in the strength of God to take out something that was supposed to take him out. But mm-hmm. he was letting that thing know. Come on. You're going to get your butt beat today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many of us are not going to ask for us to talk to people outside the line? How many of us online got that kind of boldness in God? Or are we hiding at times?
Oh, no. If you're hiding, then you're not walking in the obedience that God called you to walk in if you're hiding.
What's that?
No, you're not walking in the obedience that God called you to hide, to walk in. I mean, stop and think about this for a minute. Why are you running from something you already got victory over?
See, now that's the question. You already have what?
Victory.
You already have what?
Victory. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
Oh, I wanted to make sure somebody heard what you said. You already have the victory. And don't you know the scripture have already declared that victory belongeth to the ones trying to get saved?
No, the ones who are.
It belongeth to the saints.
That's right.
Victory is already yours. Is part of what the Lord has given to you as being a part of his family. And victory belongs to you. You don't have to keep asking, Lord, give me the victory. The victory is a part of you. You may ask God, show me in this, how do I get the victory?
Uh-huh.
What am I supposed to do? Because mm-hmm. victory is already in you.
Amen.
That's why the Bible told us, nay, in
all these things.
Now notice now the word nay means no. So whatever was mentioned before the no, none of those things can bind you, can hold you, can
Amen.
Stop you, can keep you down.
Amen.
I want you to know, just saying that you have the victory and then not telling you how to operate in it, we would be doing you an injustice tonight.
Mm.
This victory that is inside of us, we have rights. As long as we're being led by God, we have rights to operate in victory.
That's right.
Every, not sometimes, every time.
Amen.
And for those of y'all that are country, every time, you got the victory.
Say that.
So, amen, let's go a little didn't see before.
Okay.
Angels won this victory at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And can I say something tonight? I think some of y'all are going like this. Some of y'all are having your battle at the door tonight. Are you going to win? And then the next question is, are you getting ready to lock the door?
Okay.
If you had to fight the enemy off at your door, that means the enemy is already there.
Thank you.
So just fighting them off ain't the answer. Are you ready to lock the door? Now, somebody online, tell me what locking the door to the enemy means.
You don't give space or place to them. You shut them out. That's pretty much what it means.
Jimmy Kim, Chanel, y'all as quiet as a mouse on me tonight. Tell me, how do we lock the enemy out? What things do we do to lock him out?
You block him out. You ignore him. You feed your mind with the word of God. And you talk to him. You speak to him. And you said, you know, it's so many different tactics, but the most important is to make sure your relationship with God is valid.
All right.
I keep losing you. You're going in and out.
Say it again.
I said, make sure that you have, there's many tactics. You can, like, definitely pray your way out, read your way out. Praise your way out and make sure you block him
so he can know that you no longer belong to him. I don't know where you're situated or whatever, but we're only getting part of your word.
You may have to get closer to your phone, Apostle.
What's that?
I say you may have to get closer to your phone. And go ahead, say it one more time, Dr. Robinson.
Oh, I was just saying that there are so many different ways to handle it. I would first make sure that my relationship with God is valid, and then I would definitely fast, pray, and seal myself with the word and block him. Don't give him any attention. Yeah.
All right. Did you hear that?
I heard that. I want Chanel to stop acting like she's on mute and come on and put the fire on us tonight. Nellie now? Okay, she said I'm going to stay in the background. Lord have mercy. I'm going to have to come visit her and bring a special bottle of oil. Lord have mercy.
Oh.
All right. I think a couple of things we need to look at in locking out the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your prayer life?
That's a good question. No, that really is a good question because a lot of people are under the impression that, you know, and you've heard the saying before, no prayer, no power, little prayer, little power, some prayer, some power, much prayer, much power. And there is a truth to that. No, it's not biblical, but there is a biblical truth to that in the fact that if you pray, spend no time communing with God, you never know what his mindset is toward a situation or a circumstance that you would have to deal with. Too many people are trying to deal with situations away from God and outside of God, and they're expecting God-like results when they put themselves right into the arena of fear and right there. I mean, it's almost as if they put themselves in a position where the enemy could just sucker punch them. Does that make sense?
I don't know what's going on my end. I'm only getting partial statements tonight.
Wow. And maybe on your phone, Apostle. Could you hear me clearly, Sister Kimmy?
I can hear you now, but while you was talking, I was only getting process statements.
Okay. I'll say it one more time. Go ahead.
Okay. I was thinking because I think it's because you're on Bishop's phone that could be the issue, because I heard him as well.
Okay, but I kept getting pieces. I didn't get the whole thing. Okay, but go ahead again, Bishop.
Well, I was simply saying a lot of people want to go out to battle without God as opposed to with God. There was a saying that says, no prayer, no power. Some prayer, some power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Folk tend to walk out of their door half-dressed. They don't even, I'm going to throw this in there extra. They walk out half-dressed, don't even have the full armor on. They ain't got on the belt of truth. They don't have on the helmet of salvation. They shod their feet with the preparation of something, but it certainly ain't the gospel. They got a shield. It may not be, and they may have on a breastplate, but it couldn't protect a caterpillar that had all 100 legs on the front of the shield. My point is, folk go out half of what God wants them to go out in, and then they can't figure out why the enemy is beating them in the head. They don't understand why they have, it's pretty simple. If you're not doing what the Lord called you to do, we got a problem already.
Yeah. Most definitely. And then we look at something that is really serious. When you're talking about locking your door, do you have power to get it locked? Are you Holy Ghost filled?
That's the question.
Because we're not just talking about locking the door on somebody talking loud against you. Talking about the devil, Satan himself, coming to come against you. How do you fight against him if you don't have no power?
You don't. You can't.
And just because you know the song, Jesus, keep me near the cross, that don't give you the power you need to fight the enemy.
You certainly don't.
I go to church every week, but are you a part of the church?
All right.
And I'm not talking about the brick and wood. I'm talking about, are you a part of the blood brought, a word-washed church that has the Holy Ghost and power against the enemy? Because Jesus told us in the book of Luke, behold, I give unto you power
to
tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over most of the works. I guess you already read that one either. He said, over all the work of the enemy. I want you to know, once you come into God and receive the Holy Ghost, there's nothing that the devil can do to you that really works unless you let it work in your life. Because you got power over everything.
That the enemy
will try. And you don't believe me? Well, then go read the book of John. I believe that 15th chapter, might be the 16th chapter, where Jesus told them, I believe it's in the 16th chapter, Jesus told them, you're going to have the Holy Ghost in a few more days. He said, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, but when the Holy Ghost comes, don't get so carried away, because Satan is coming too.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you ain't got to worry about him, because I already defeated him.
Well, I'm going to tell you honestly, there are some folk, and I'm sorry, they might hold a quote-unquote fivefold office. They're not happy unless they're the center of attention. You know what I mean? And when they want to put on a display of power, they want to do it in the presence of people as if these people are going to be impressed with what they do. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. With what you just said, it lets me know you are talking about foolish people.
Then they are that.
Only somebody foolish want to get all the glory, want to look the brightest and all that. Because Paul let us all know, without the Lord, I am nothing.
And, you know, we say this, we hear this, we've read this, and yet somewhere in the middle of all of that, they want to prove how, quote-unquote, anointed they are, how powerful they are, how, you know, how in Christ they are. And all you're proving to me is that you're still trying to get somebody's approval.
See you can... You get ready to make me mess up one of my messages, and I don't even know where I'm preaching it at.
Okay.
But I want you to know the problem of today is there's more entertainment than move of the Holy Ghost.
Well, there, and you know what?
They dropped. I will wait on them to finish.
Actually, my phone actually went down, and when I say went down, it just boom and took a
phone.
Okay.
Here I am.
I know I got us back as quickly as I could. I do apologize,
I was only down for a minute, but I done beat you down that quick. Hallelujah.
My God. Well, to God be the glory. At least you had opportunity and chance. Now, to get back to what we were saying, basically, you are right. There are people who are foolish that think that for one second they could steal God's glory. For one second, just to even think that you could steal God's glory, you know? Wow. Anyway, we're going to hold that thought process right there.
No, watch this. Did not the New Testament say all flesh is grass?
That's right, and burned, in case they didn't know.
Cut, burn, and it fades.
That's right.
And not only that, one thing we got to notice, grass don't stay famous long.
Nope, it's only green for a season.
Lord have mercy. I want somebody to know tonight, don't be in the danger of God having to send angels to rescue you, and then you don't know what to do to stay rescued.
My goodness. My goodness.
Now that's a sad piece right there. God sending you rescue, God sending you deliverance, but you don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-mm. You don't.
So what? You've been smoking for 20 years, and God's been trying to deliver you for the last 10 Sundays, but you won't give it up.
Mm-mm-mm.
So what? You live with somebody, and y'all been having sex the last 3, 4, 5 years, but you're ready to give it up now, not for the rest of your life, but to know Jesus.
My goodness.
But you got to give it up for God to take it.
That's
right.
That is true.
I believe what Teddy Pendergrass, the great elder, because y'all got to know, if you did your studies, you'll find out he was a preacher at one time.
He was, and he was an elder in his denomination.
But I want to bless you right now with some words to think about. You just got to let it go. It looks like another love
PKO.
What you know about that, Kimmy? What you know about that? You're too young for that.
You know, you there are
singing.
There are some things.
Now you're too young for that. Go ahead.
There are some things. If you want it out your life, you got to knock it the heck out.
You do. You really do. People don't understand, man. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you pay any real attention to what goes on, spiritually speaking, God will open doors and make ways and bring things into your existence that other people may not understand, but you have the understanding. But in the end, your obedience to God is going to manifest the blessing that's needed and or necessary for you to incur. Other folks, just like they, for example, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they caught an unexpected curse. But it should have been expected because of their lifestyle. Should have been expected just because of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't know why folk today, and then we got folk today going to grab an attitude. If you talk about the LGBTQ, throw some other letters in there, the Greek alphabet if you feel like it. When you make mention of their lifestyle, the first thing they want to tell you, you're judging me. I'm looking at what you're doing. The Bible gives me the right to inspect your fruit. I have a right to inspect your fruit. That ain't judging. If you're telling me you're an apple tree and I see bright oranges on your tree, apparently you lied to yourself because you lied to me. You said you were an apple tree, but I see oranges on the tree. What's wrong with that picture?
But and really, I said this one time before in a meeting, and I'm going to say it tonight. What's the problem in the church? We don't want to deal with the whole sexual problem, but everybody's trying to jump on homosexuality. When there's more going on even in the church than homosexuality.
It sure is. I mean,
why ain't nobody preaching about why ain't nobody preaching about fornication? What happened to adultery? And no, I'm not trying to bring these up to cover up for homosexuality because I don't believe in it. I believe they ought to get delivered too. But I'm just saying tonight, there's more going on than homosexuality.
I'm going to throw this out there. Why aren't they talking about stealing? We're not going to dress it up and say embezzlement, as some people would say. If you are the treasurer of the church and you using the church's money to go on vacation, and then when they call for the treasury to give a report on why certain bills didn't get paid, and all you could say was, I didn't have time, but you know, in reality, you don't spend the church's money. You stole from the church. That ain't embezzlement. That's stealing.
And I'm going to tell you, that's a stupid answer, because if you didn't have time, then that means you still got the money at home. Go pay the bill.
He probably ain't got the money at home. He probably went on vacation and came back.
No, I'm saying, but you used the words, I didn't have time. You still got the money then go pay the bill.
You know you don't have the money at home. Go ahead and put on that game. Yeah, that money was spent when you went to Aruba.
Don't you know? So, I mean, if somebody said that to me, then I would tell them, okay, you didn't have time to do it. Now you're back. You got time. Go pay the bill.
Mm-hmm. You better go see if American Airlines will give you a refund.
And
whatever that hotel is you stayed in.
That's when we'll find out. Sister Trustee, brother Chairman, or treasurer or something, done took the money and did what they felt like.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ain't got time, then that means you ain't never been to the bank or nowhere. If you ain't had time, that means your ticket was brought with your money. Now I'm going to take the church money and do what we need done.
What's the church money doing at your house? That's my first question. When you leave that, when you leave the sanctuary, that money's supposed to be on the way to the bank for a deposit. And what do they call them deposits when you go to the ATM? That money ain't got no business going to your house. Just go right to the ATM.
Yeah, you can go do a self-deposit.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And the thing about it is, even with the self-deposit, the self-deposit backs you up and give you a receipt for every check you done put in there, all the cash you done put in. So there ain't no such thing, well, my son got a hold of the money while I was gone. No, your son can't go to the bank and get no money. I'm sorry about that.
Your son couldn't get a hold of the money if the money wasn't in your house where it wasn't supposed to be.
Thank you. And so, as I was saying, there is more than one sin of sex going on that needs to be talked about. I said in that meeting that day, I said, y'all sitting here taking hours talking about homosexuality. I said, I ain't heard one preacher here yet say nothing about pastors who got children in the church that don't belong to their wife.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I ain't heard nobody talk about the musician that's screwing 5, 6, 7 women in the choir.
Oh, why you gotta say the musician is screwing 5, 6, 7 women? How about the director who's screwing the musician?
Well, I got into that too.
Oh no, they're both male at this point. Or both
that,
male.
That's what I'm talking about. That took me back to homosexuality. But it was mentioned. But I'm saying that so much. And I will never forget a great evangelist told me one time that they went to a church to evangelize. Said while they were sitting in the pulpit, them and the pastor, said the pastor leaned over to them, said, look back at the choir. He said, you know, I just looked back. Said, I thought something great was going on. So I looked at the choir, looked at the pastor, said, oh, yeah, they sound real nice, look real good. And the pastor had the nerve to say, I done had just about everything up there.
Oh, Lord.
Now, you got...
And the bad part is not one of them that's up there open their mouth.
No, but the thing about it, I'm a guest in your church, and you're going to tell me something like that, and I'm supposed to get up and preach? Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, that could have not been me. That would have been my first night and my last night, because while I was talking, it sure would have came out of my lips. Guess y'all will never guess what Pastor told me while I was sitting here tonight.
Mm-mm.
And Pastor would have been crawling. He would have been crawling across the pulpit while I'm talking.
Wow.
Because after I would have told what he said, then I would have had to say, everybody in this church that knows that Pastor has that kind of spirit, but you keep coming here, you're all crazy. And that's the end of my message. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
You can keep the offering because you don't need it.
You better believe it. God will open the door for me somewhere.
Mm-mm.
I mean, but as leader, how do you tell an evangelist at your church to do revival? You done screwed everything in the choir.
The person that needs reviving is not in the choir.
Thank you. It must first start in that pastor, and then maybe we can get revival inside of everybody else.
I would agree with that, and I'm going to leave that right where T.I. yells.
Let me close out this scripture tonight. There's so much in here, I can't really deal with it all. I think I want you to go down to verse 8. In the 19th chapter of Genesis. But I advise everybody, go and read this 19th chapter of Genesis. There were so many things the Lord showed me tonight and today, looking and thinking about this scripture. I'll tell you that it was not, when you look at it again, it was not, and I keep saying it, and I hope nobody thinks I'm trying to cover up for y'all, but it was not just homosexuality by itself why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
It's just straight wickedness.
When you go back and read it, when you go back and read it, I think it's verse 18, I mean chapter 18, where it really describes what was going on in Sodom, then you're going to know why God had to get rid of them. He was giving them a chance with these angels coming down there, but they messed up so bad, he went with his plan. Go ahead, verse 8.
Okay, verse 8, it reads, also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. That's 8. Continue.
Go ahead.
Okay, number 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters
Let me say something while you're reading. What we need to understand, none of this problem was in Sodom and Gomorrah until they tried to mess with God's angels. See, the destruction, can I say it? Yes, go ahead and say it. We need to understand, we talk about God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, they caused it to come on themselves.
It was God's defense of his holy ones.
See, they wouldn't do it right. They wouldn't repent and come right. So God started doing certain things down there in the land to let them know my words get ready to come to pass. Go ahead, read verse 10.
Okay, and it reads, number 10, and he stayed yet other 7 days. Yet another 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove
listen to that. Listen to that. He's trying to get something from God. And 7 days later, after this foolishness just happened, 7 days later, he's still trying to get God not to do what he said. Don't you know there's always somebody crying out for the people? But sometimes things is in such a mess, God is not going to turn things around. See, we can talk about a God of grace and mercy all we want to. Sometimes you done jacked up grace and mercy. And whatever God said, it has to happen.
Amen.
And we need to know that. The grace and the mercy is not always going to save you.
That is true.
That's true.
I mean, even in New Testament, it said, don't frustrate the grace of God.
That's what it says.
Look up in your own time. Look up the word frustrate. Oh, my God. And you're going to find out that there are as nice as grace is. There are times when you anger the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to do whatever he told you he's about to do. If he said you're going to break your leg, you can forget crying anymore. Your leg is broke.
Pretty much it.
And don't blame God when your leg gets broke. Don't be saying, oh, God, I don't know why you had to break my leg. No, you broke your leg. God came to give you mercy and let you cry out unto him and said, Lord, forgive me. I don't mean this. I'm getting out of this, and I'll never do it again. And God would have changed your situation.
All right, now.
But because you kept going in sin. Go ahead, Bishop, I heard you.
I was going to say, we're at the bottom of the hour, I believe.
Well, if you got anything to say, say it quick.
Well, I'm just simply going to say men ought to obey God rather than man. When you take in the precepts and concepts of man and disobey God, you put yourself in harm's way. But when you obey the word of God, the spirit of God, the will and the way of God, you take yourself out of harm's way. Men can destroy the body, but God's able to destroy the body and put the soul in hell. What choice do you have? You better take the latter because the former you can handle. Take the latter because you can't handle the former. That's what I meant to say. I'm done.
The Lord just brought it back to me. There was one more scripture I wanted to throw in tonight. Let me throw it in real quick. Some people think homosexuality has just come into the world in the last 50, 60 years. Let me tell you something. Homosexuality is one of the oldest sinful environments that you will ever read about in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to show you right now how old it is. When they got off the ark, it says that Noah found some grapes that had been sitting under the water for I don't know how long. But he made some wine out of it and began to drink and got drunk.
Uh-huh.
Now here is his son, traveled on the water for all that long, got off the boat, and went and sexually abused his father.
Mm-hmm.
A homosexual act happened right off the ship.
And that was him giving in to his quote-unquote feelings, giving in to his hormones. He'd have done better to go get one of his sisters.
Don't you know? And when Daddy woke up, Daddy said, I wasn't as drunk as you thought. I know what you did to me.
You think he wouldn't know? Come on, he had to feel that. But he was too drunk to do anything about it.
Yeah, he said, I know what you did to me. But what I'm getting ready to do is show somebody how things are done because you won't do right. God didn't strike down the son or nothing. Noah took care of it himself. He said, go get your son and come here and see me. When they came back to see him, he told his son, I'm not going to curse you. I'm going to curse my grandson.
Mm.
And boy, the curse he put on that boy, if you follow it, you will find out it came to big time pass.
Oh, yes, even today, we're screaming about discrimination. There's a reason why we suffer the way we do. Because
and
of...
So,
an ancestral curse.
Yep, and so the real deal is, since we so close to time, the real deal is everything that you know does not please God in your life,
mm-hmm.
you need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the one sin, even though that is a sin. It ain't the one sin. It's everything that's going on that God wants you to clean and rectify yourself and live holy the rest of your days.
My.
Well, we bless God for all of you. We really didn't do through the scripture what we wanted to, but we did the best we can tonight. Amen. But you come back next week if you want to hear some more words. 10 o'clock p.m. next week. Be right here. The Voice will be back at you. Don't forget, July 18th through the 24th is the 27th Holy Convocation of the volume of the book. And we have some wonderful anointed preachers of the gospel that will be sharing the word with us on that week. And then on the 23rd, that voice you heard tonight, the bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr. is moving up to the work of the Lord called bishop. And we will consecrate him that Saturday, the 23rd at 12 o'clock, New Trinity Temple, Church of God in Christ, 285 Dixwell Avenue, 285 Dixwell Avenue, here in the city of New Haven. You are invited to come and shout and bless God with us on that day. Then that Sunday we will close out. You can come and bless the Lord for the climax of the convocation at 11 o'clock. We will see you there in Jesus' name. All right. Everyone have a blessed night and a blessed life. And I pray tomorrow will bring you greater things than you even saw today. In
Amen.
Jesus' name, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Dang, Crystal.